This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning. It's Pastor Brian de Villiers. Today we start a new series for the next couple of weeks. We're going to be speaking and studying together studies in the book of Acts, chapters 1 to 3. We start today with the first part of our series, going through the book of Acts. I want to read this morning to you from Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, and after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So as we go through the book of Acts this morning, in many ways, Acts is the most exciting book found in the New Testament, for it is so full of movement and interest. These studies will be expository, devotional, practical, and varied. And this first study in the series is introductory to the whole. To begin with, notice the following. The title, the Book of Acts, known as the Acts of the Apostles. This is correct, though. In the main, it is only tells us of the acts of two apostles, Peter, whose ministry was to the Jews, and whose great word was repent. He used the word Peter, repent. Secondly, Paul, whose ministry was to the Gentiles, and whose great word was believe. Peter said, repent. Paul said, believe. Strictly speaking, however, this book does not record the acts of men, but of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who by the Holy Spirit filled and used men as instruments. And this is the meaning of Acts chapter 1, where it says, and the former account I made, Theophilus, of all Jesus began both to do and to teach. You got that? He began to teach, and he began to tell the people about the good news of the gospel. Where Luke tells us in this his gospel, he recorded many of the things that Jesus began both to do and teach in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. For 33 years, the Holy Spirit had indwelt, filled, and worked through the human body of the man Christ Jesus. Then this same man returned to heaven, and the Holy Spirit came and filled his mystical body, the church. And thus the Lord continued to do his ministry works from the throne room. It is more correct, therefore, to call this book the Acts of the Risen Lord, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because of this, the book of Acts is an unfinished book. And I say that to you this morning. It's an unfinished book. It records the continuing work of the risen Lord Jesus from heaven. Number two, I want to say to you this morning, the writer Luke wrote his gospel and the book of Acts. He wrote both of them. And both letters were written to Theophilus. Thirdly, the date and the period. It was written about AD 63, and it covers approximately 33 years of history. Our Lord was upon the earth for 33 years, which identically is the average life span of man. In Acts, we have an example of what can be accomplished through one generation of believers. Number four. Key verse and key word. of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and this is what it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The key verse and the word witness is the key word. Witness is the key word. In this one verse, we have a bird's eye view of the whole book. We start by reading of the preaching of the gospel in Jerusalem, the ecclesiastical center, and conclude with the preaching of the gospel in Rome, the center of world power. Now consider some reasons why we should study this wonderful book of Acts. Number one, it is the record of actual history. Be sure of this. It is authentic, and I want to be clear about that. It is authentic. And when we turn to 2 Timothy 3:16, we read these words, 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." It is the first book ever written of church history. It is the history book of the church of which we are members, and it applies to the church age and the dispensation that we live in now of the Holy Spirit in which we are living. What does it say to us in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18? Matthew chapter 18, and we read here, Matthew 16, and verse 18. "And also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I also say to you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." That's what Jesus said. It's the first book ever written of church history, and we need to understand that. When we come to Acts chapter 2, and we read here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." You see, it's the building and the adding to of the church that's still going on today. Number two, it is full of instruction for the Christian, and we need to be clear about that. Full of instruction. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 15. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You got that? It means rightly dividing the word of truth. In it, we learn how to worship, how to walk, how to witness, how to win souls and how to pray, how to conquer, how to suffer, how to rejoice in tribulation, how to live for the Lord Jesus, how to die for the Lord Jesus. This book tells us how the early Christians gave, how they worked together, and how they acted in times of crisis. What an exciting record this is, isn't it? Number three, I want to say this to you this morning. It contains clear exposition of vital Christian doctrine. Romans, of course, is the textbook of theology. But in Acts, we hear the Christian gospel preached, and we see it working. We hear in the sermons and the speeches of Peter, Paul, Stephen, Philip, James, and Ananias. And we quickly learn what a Christian believes and how he is to present the gospel to others. All the vital Christian doctrines are emphasized in the book of Acts. All the notes of the Christian gospel are sounded, and they peal forth in rapturous harmony. It is significant to notice that the message, though preached by very many different people, it still remains the same. I think that's one thing we need to be clear. The message was preached by different people, but the message was always the same. Number four, it contains many thumbnail biographies. Read through Acts. Pick out the stories told in brief compass of individuals whom God saved and blessed and used for the extension of his kingdom. We read about Stephen. We read about Stephen in Acts chapter 6 about his boldness, how he spoke for the Lord Jesus Christ, and how in the end he was stoned to death. And he said, "Lord, forgive them. Do not hold this against them. Forgive them." That was Stephen. Dorcas, the lady who worked with many other ladies, she had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and she worked hard to help the believers at that time and those that were in need. And when she died, they showed the work that she had done, and she was raised to life again. John Mark as well, we read about him in Acts chapter 13, and I want us to read that again. Acts chapter 13. And this is what it tells us in Acts chapter 13. And I want to read it so that we can have the account of it this morning of Acts chapter 13. And this is what it tells us. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, and Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them." Then they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them and sent them away. And so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucus. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius and Paulus, an intelligent man. And the man called Barnabas and Saul sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, intently looked at him and said, "O full of deceit and all of fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the straight ways of the Lord? Now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon him, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately darkness fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, and astonished at the teachings of the Lord. And when Paul and his party sailed for Paphos, they came to Pergamon and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. It tells us about that. And so it tells us the working of people, how the Holy Spirit led them, how the Holy Spirit guided them. For your own guidance, make a list of the biographies. Make your list alphabetically, and when you have completed it, you will have a valuable aid to study further about the book of Acts, the people that were used by God and what they accomplished under the power of the Holy Spirit. Number five, it has a strong missionary emphasis. The book of Acts is the authorized missionary manual of the church. It deals with why and how and where the missionaries work. It speaks of evangelization of cities. That's where they went to. And they went to individuals. They went and they spoke. And it shows us this. It shows concisely our men were called, equipped for missionary service. This book inspires, makes, trains, instructs, equips missionaries. It's a missionary book from start to finish. It tells us all the time. Number six, it describes many notable conversions. This will inspire you. Read the conversions at Pentecost that took place, the conversion of the Queen's Treasurer that we studied some time ago together. You remember the Queen's Treasurer was that Ethiopian man sitting in his chariot reading the Word of God, and he couldn't understand it, and how Stephen came and Stephen explained it to him. He was baptized and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of Saul of Tarsus, who became the great apostle Paul. We see his conversion on the Damascus Road, where God spoke to him and he was struck and he was blinded. And then Ananias comes to him that he might receive his sight, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and how God mightily used him. Cornelius, we read of. Lydia, this purple seller, this lady who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. He had locked the prisoners away, Paul and Silas. And at midnight, there's an earthquake. And he thought everybody had gone, but they hadn't. Paul said, "We're all here," because he wanted to kill himself. And then they led him. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." And so we have this tremendous account of the conversions of many people to be found in the book of Acts. They are but examples of what God can do. Examples of what God can do and of what he's doing all over the world today through the sovereign work of the Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel in answer to the prayers of God's people. We see it happening. We hear reports in different countries of how Jesus is appearing to people and how people are coming to know Jesus in a wonderful way. In countries like Iran and other countries, people are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been led by the Spirit of the living God. Point seven, it is of great spiritual value. To read the book of Acts will send us to our knees. It will raise the temperature of our love for the Lord. It will fire us with new zeal. It will stir us to be active in the Lord's service. Read of the men who turned the world upside down. And you will be turned upside down yourself. Because if we read in Acts chapter 17, and this is what it says to us. It tells us, Acts 17, verse 6. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city out. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. They were said of them, they turned the world upside down. Do people say that of you and I? When we've been there and we've spoken about Jesus, do they say about us, these people today have come and they've turned our world upside down? Read of what God can do with ordinary men and women when they filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's read the account as we bring it to a close this morning. We read from Acts chapter 4, and this is what it tells me in Acts chapter 4. And I want to read you in Acts chapter 4, verse 31 and 33. This is what it tells us. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Isn't that tremendous? They spoke the word of God with boldness. Verse 33, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Isn't that fantastic? Great grace was upon them all. The late Dr. Campbell Morgan used to say that a study of this book will do two things for us. First, it will fill us with hope. I trust as we study this, it's going to fill us with hope. We shall realize what a wonderful Lord we have, what a mighty person the Holy Spirit is, what a powerful gospel has been entrusted to us. And secondly, it will fill us with shame. To read this book will humble us and send us to our knees and cause us to cry out, Lord, do it again, do it again. So what is my encouragement this morning? Go and start reading through the book of Acts again and again. Study it prayerfully, eagerly, methodically, expectantly. And I want to tell you today, when you do that, you're going to see something happen in your own heart and your own life. Something's going to just catch flame within your heart. And you're going to go out and you're going to go and tell other people. You're going to be a witness of what Jesus Christ has done for you. He can do for the people you're speaking to as well. He's made a change in your life. All we have to tell people, my friends, the easiest testimony of speaking to people is not giving them a travelogue of all the bad things you did in your life. No, we don't do that. We say, my life was a mess. I met Jesus. And because I met Jesus, my life has been changed forever. See the way. Tell them the way your life has been changed. And because of what Jesus has done for you, he can do for them also. As you read the book of Acts, I pray you will be filled with hope for the future. I pray you will see that God wants to use even you. He gives you boldness. We read about it in Acts chapter 4, verse 31 and 33. Boldness to speak, not our own words, but you see the Christ that lives in us will help us. He, through the Spirit of God living in us, he will speak in us, through us, that we say the right words, that people will see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And as we speak Christ to other people, their lives are going to be changed. They're going to sense their great need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who can bring change in their lives, in their families, in their businesses, with their children, because where Jesus is, Jesus brings change. I trust you've been encouraged. I trust you're going to be with me for the next number of weeks as we're going to be speaking on this new series of studies in the book of Acts, chapters 1 to 3. We're going to start with first. And we pray you're going to be so encouraged by the word of God. And as we live it out every day, because it's not us living, it's Christ in us who is the hope of glory. And we're living every day for Jesus. Every day we're glorifying Jesus in the way we live it out, in the way we speak with boldness to people, in the loving way we speak, in the encouraging way we speak to people. I just pray God's going to bless you. You're going to be blessed in such a wonderful way. Let me pray for you this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word. The word encourages us that we will go on in the things of God. As we go through the book of Acts, I'm praying that we're going to be so encouraged by the word of God in the book of Acts. We're going to study the conversions. We're going to see how people's lives were changed. We're going to see the methods they use in preaching, in teaching, in encouraging, and being enthusiastic about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit's going to take these words this morning and speak it into the hearts and lives of people who are listening today, that we're going to have hope and we're going to know that God is calling us, that God can use each one, because we've been anointed by the Holy Spirit, each one of us, to go out and be a witness in our world, not of ourselves, but of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that we've encountered, who's made a difference in our lives, can make a difference in theirs. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I bless you. I praise you. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Good day to you. God encourage you. Have a good day. May this be the best day of the rest of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.